Yes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is November 15th. Oh, let me turn. Today is November 15th, and we're doing an executive committee meeting before we do our regularly scheduled board session. This should be very quick. So, welcome. Today is November 15th. This is the executive committee. Ms. Rivers, if you could do roll call, please. Here.
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 Thank you so very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have one action item on the agenda tonight, and that is the approve registration for the AGB meeting for all board trustee members who want to attend. The AGB conference is a conference that's put on, actually, I can't remember if it's annually or biannually, but it's a conference that is filled with wonderful topics about governance and relations, issues, things like that for trustees and administration. And whenever there's an expense in excess of $1,000, that has to be approved by the board. And so it's not clear how many trustees will attend this right now. We have one trustee that is likely to attend. There may be others, but we needed to approve this at the board committee. And if by doing it today, we're saving money, because if we wait until when the conference actually happens, there's an increase in tuition fees. So ideally, we'll be able to get this approved today. And then any trustees that are interested will register before December, and then it's affordable. It's cheaper to attend. So with that, I have a resolution, which is the reimbursement and approval of Board of Trustees members' expenses to Association of Governing Boards of Universities and Colleges, AGB programs and events. And is there any discussion on this resolution?
No discussion.
Seeing no discussion, Chair will entertain a motion to vote.
I move approval.
It's been moved for approval. Is there a second?
I
okay.
Second.
So by acclamation, it seems it has been moved for approval. All executive committee members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Seeing, hearing none, this passes. This will be voted on to our agenda tonight, where it can be ratified by the board at our regularly scheduled meeting, which will be starting in a few minutes. And so there's no other action items for this executive committee, so the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Not a roll call.
There goes. No roll call. We're here in person.
Okay.
So
okay.
Seeing none, hearing none, this meeting is adjourned, and we will reconvene in about 6 minutes with our regularly scheduled meeting. Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is November 15th. My name is Christopher Bell, Chair of the Board of Trustees. Welcome to the UDC Board of Trustees meeting today. We're glad you're here. What I'd like to do now is ask Ms. Rivers if she could do a roll call vote so we could establish a quorum. Here.
Here.
Trustee Shelton.
Here.
Dr. Harris.
Here.
Trustee Grossinger.
Yeah.
Dr. Jarvis.
Here.
Dr. Musgrove.
Here.
Trustee Scott. Dr. Rudd.
Present.
General Schwartz.
Here.
Dr. Tarr?
Here.
Trustee Mike Richardson? President Mason?
Here.
Chief of Staff Hillary?
Here.
General Counsel Russell?
Here.
Chief Academic Officer Potter?
Here.
Chief Student Development and Success Officer Latham?
Here.
COO Franklin?
Here.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate that, Ms. Rivers. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. The minutes were provided to you. Both electronically and paper form. Chair will entertain a motion. It has been moved by Trustee Schwartz to approve the minutes and seconded by Trustee Tard. Any discussion? Seeing none, hearing none. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing none, seeing none. The minutes are approved as presented. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is action items. With the indulgence of the board, I'd like to ask that an item that was voted upon in the executive committee be added to our agenda. That is a resolution regarding approval for attending the AGB meeting for all Board of Trustees members who want to attend. I'd like to add this to the action items under the executive committee report out. Any objections?
No objections, Mr. Chairman.
Seeing none, hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, hearing none. The item is added onto the agenda. That will be item C under the executive committee report out. Okay. That we are now at action items under our agenda. First item is executive committee. We have three items to approve, and I think with the indulgence of the board, we can approve these en bloc. The first is a resolution for appointment of Ms. Larenza Bridges Key as Vice President, Office of Human Resources, University of the District of Columbia. The second one is a resolution regarding the fiscal year 2024 budget approval operating capital. And then the third one is the AGB resolution approval to attend AGB meeting for all Board of Trustee members who want to attend. The first item is the appointment of Ms. Larenza Bridges Key. Any questions, any discussions on this item? Seeing none, hearing none. These three items, by the way, I'm sorry, I need to confirm. These are going to be ratifications. The executive committee has already approved them. We'll do a vote after we discuss all three. The second item is the resolution of the fiscal year 2024 budget approval, operating, and capital. This was the item that was approved, I guess, about 10 days ago in the Joint Operations Audit Budget Finance Committee. It passed unanimously and then was approved by the Executive Committee as well. Is there any discussion on this resolution, fiscal year 2024 budget approval of operating and capital? Seeing none, hearing none, I will then move on to the next item. The next item is the reimbursement and approval of Board of Trustees members' expenses to Association of Governing Boards of Universities and Colleges, AGB programs and events. This was the matter that was just passed in Executive Committee at 5:45 today. Are there any questions on this item? Discussion? Seeing none, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve all three en bloc.
So moved. Seconded.
It has been moved and seconded to approve these items en bloc. What I'll now do is read the clauses for each one, and then we can do the approval. So the first resolution is the appointment of Ms. Larenza Bridges Key as Vice President, Office of Human Resources, University of the District of Columbia. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Executive Committee of the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the appointment of Ms. Larenza Bridges Key as Vice President, Human Resources, Office of the President, effective August 16, 2022, consistent with the terms and conditions of her appointment letter, subject to ratification by the Board of Trustees at its next regularly scheduled meeting. The next item is... approval of proposed fiscal year 2024 budget and financial plan and capital budget requests. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia hereby approve the proposed fiscal year 2024 budget and financial plan and capital budget request attached hereto as Exhibit A for submission to the Mayor of the District of Columbia. And the third item is the reimbursement and approval of Board of Trustees member expenses to Association of Governing Boards of Universities and Colleges, AGB programs and events. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves in advance any single expense greater than $1,000. All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Seeing, hearing none? All three resolutions are passed. Thank you very much, trustees. Is Ms. Larenza Bridges Keys here?
No, she's
not. She's not here? Okay. Well, congratulations to you, and thank you for joining leading our HR team. We are appreciative of your contributions. All righty. The next item that we have on the agenda is the Academic and Student Affairs Committee. Trustee Tard, I yield the floor to you.
This is for the approval of the Associate of Science degree of Engineering Science. The Associate of Science degree in Engineering Science supports admission both of the UGC Community College and the University of the District of Columbia and is in high demand across the country. Thank you. The need for an Associate of Science degree is widely recognized at the national, state, and local levels. Data provided by the U.S. Department of Labor predicted that between 2010 and 2020, Data provided by the U.S. Department of Labor predicted that between 2010 and 2020, about 2.1 million jobs in the field
would be created. The Associate of Science degree in Engineering Science program is designed to prepare students for the associate's degree in related engineering science fields, or for those students who are planning to enter STEM workforce technology fields with the potential to earn a bachelor's degree in engineering in the future. This program also meets the needs of aspiring high school graduates, community college students focusing on STEM-related fields, and working professionals. The Associate of Science degree in Engineering Science will provide students the opportunity to apply and to be admitted to the baccalaureate-level degree program upon satisfactory completion of the required number of credits in the ACES program without loss of credits upon transfer. In addition, this program will benefit students in STEM fields, increasing their marketability both to local and national employers. So I move, okay? I move that the board approve the implementation of the Associate of Science and Engineering Science program be approved, provided that the, I gotta flip a page here so I can see where I'm at. Okay. Provided that the funds to implement the program shall not be obligated until the funds have been identified and reprogrammed within the existing university resources.
Thank you, Trustee Tard. Trustee Tard has moved that this resolution be approved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Okay.
I think I can speak loudly enough. Can you hear me? No, that's okay. I'd rather just go on. I think Cressida already there. Can you hear me better? Okay. My question is, I think this is really an exciting program.
Come on, Katrina.
Thank you. I think it's really an exciting program.
Thank you. I think this is a wonderful program, and my excitement about it is a little tempered by my hope that the students might do so well that they won't go on and get the bachelor's degree. And so I'm wondering whether there's something in the structure of this program that does some of the supports for students, like cooperative education program, that designs the academic piece of the program so that it allows flexibility so the students can work while they're concurrently finishing their four-year degree, which is difficult in fields like engineering. So I just wondered what kind of thought have been given to that and what kind of supports are being built in, because this ought to be a winner of the government is so important to support the students to finish not just the associates, but the bachelor's, but model for designing this program is great.
Mm-hmm. Should we get Dr. Potter?
You can. I could give you a shot for
it. Oh, okay. Sorry.
So,
yes, Dr. Potter.
Dr.
Potter is here, and so is Dr. Hamilton.
Yeah, they'd be better. Potter or Dr. Hamilton, one of y'all want to talk about it? Come on. Is the podium live? Okay.
Good afternoon, trustees. Lawrence Potter, Chief Academic Officer here at the University of the District of Columbia. To your question, Trustee Barazzoni, of all of the degrees that we have structured over the last 2 or 3 years, we have built-in certifications. So students are scaffolded, these degree programs are scaffolded with the certification so that they're not trying to concentrate on a degree path and work on the certification on the side. So we think that the built-in certifications enable individuals to get jobs at Amazon, to be able to work at Google and the like, and I'll let Dean Hamilton speak to some of the other exciting things that are built in as part of the experience.
As you well know, when students hear the word engineering and they think about the mathematics that's involved, they run for the hills screaming and hollering. And so what we have done that we have laid out a manner in which they can achieve the, you know, get the content and the mathematics that they need to succeed, wrapping all the resources, supplemental instruction, tutoring around them so that they can see that they can make this happen for them. The second thing is that once they transition to the university, they do not lose credits. In fact, when the original proposal was done, it was for 67 or 70 credits. After some looking at the numbers and talking through how could we reduce it to 60 credits, we were able to do so. So they get the core courses that they need so that they can decide whether they want to do biomedical engineering, mechanical engineering, civil engineering, and electrical engineering. The next thing that we looked at very carefully was the cost associated with the program. Dr. Shetty and I, we are always at the forefront thinking, how much is this going to cost? How much money are you going to save? So if you went to even the 4 years at UDC, the cost is roughly about $40,000 or $45,000. In this way, by getting an associate degree and transitioning to the university, you'll be able to cut that cost to you close to a little bit more than half. And then the last thing is that when we were developing the program, we brought the employers in the room and asked, what is it that you're looking for at an AS degree level? And not only will they said that they will be able to get, you know, be able to compete for jobs, but they can retain those positions as they progress and matriculate through the bachelor's degree programs.
So I'm going to supplement a little bit. And if I miss something, I think Dr. Shetty really is going to add to it. But your question was about the difficulty of earning a bachelor's degree in engineering while at the same time having to negotiate jobs. And it's the same issue we have, for example, with the nurses, almost exactly the same. This was designed to be a pipeline engine to the engineering program. But if we have a school that has the financial capacity to enable students to have more scholarship funds, because the engineering school has done a good job of getting scholarship money from Amazon, from I think Boeing, and we have also the anonymous donor we put money into to the School of Engineering. And they get a lot of paid internships, too, in the School of Engineering. But at the end of the day, it's one of the challenges we're trying to figure out now, because with the federal funds, we were actually able to give living stipends to students. But with the federal funds going, we're trying to figure out what we can afford. Because if I understood your question correctly, that is a real challenge for students trying to make it to a bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm. Places like Drexel would be really good to look at.
Okay. Do they have a big endowment?
Well, they have an enormous cooperative education program.
Do they? Okay.
Where the students start working at the same time as they're learning.
Mm-hmm. Drexel is the model we want to look at, folks.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions or comments on this resolution? Seeing none. Oh, and welcome, Trustee Jarvis. I didn't see that you come in. Thank you for being here. We had called the question, so now we can move into votes. All those in favor, oh, I'm sorry, I need to read the clause. So this is approval of the Associate of Science degree in Engineering Science. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees approves the implementation of the Associate of Science in Engineering Science program in accordance with the attached proposal, provided that the funds required to implement the program shall not be obligated until they have been identified and reprogrammed within existing university resources. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing none? Seeing none? This resolution passes. Thank you, Dr. Potter, Dr. Hamilton, Dr. Shetty, for this wonderful work. This is really good. Thank you very much for all that you do. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Yes.
Sure.
Oh.
I'm late. I'd like to be seen as voting for the budget. Do you have to open up the vote again in order to allow me to do that, or shall I just have it in the minutes?
I don't know what the protocol is for that, but...
The question is, Dr. Jarvis wants to be...
on the record for voting.
On the record as voting for the budget, approving the budget. Even though she came late to the meeting, can we note her... Noted in the minutes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, General.
Please note that it will be noted in the minutes that Dr. Jarvis approves of the budget. Thank you so very much. Okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think that was the actual, that was the totality of the items that we're voting on. We're now at part four of our agenda, which is report of the chairperson. So I'll just say a few things that I wanted to report out about. The strategic plan, the Board of Trustees had a retreat November 5th on campus at the Windows Lounge where we talked about the update that's being given to us by Link on the strategic plan, and I think we're all very impressed with what Link presented, but even more so, we were impressed with the overwhelming participation by students, faculty, staff, stakeholder groups that were involved. There's been a lot of interest in this group, and I believe Link said they had not seen this level of interest before and other plans that they had done. So it's very exciting to know that while we're retiring the equity imperative, that or that we satisfied the equity imperative, I guess Ms. Bird will tell us that, that we're well on our way to having our newest iteration coming soon, and I think it'll be here this month. But just that was a very good topic for us to talk about. The other topic that we talked about in that retreat was enrollment, and we got a good sense of issues in enrollment and that are both unique to the university and what the university is doing. And so congrats to Dr. Latham and his exceptional team for all that they're doing to help us address this challenging issue of enrollment. Our numbers are up, thank goodness, and we're very appreciative of the creative approach and the strategic approaches that your office is doing to help us make further goals in that area across all of our enrollment targets. So thank you for that. Ron and I had the pleasure of doing a town hall with Dr. Trustee Harris, and I thought it was very good. 40, 50 in attendance, maybe? I could be off on the numbers. But the town hall was moderated by Dr. Trustee Harris, and students asked questions, and then we were able to visit with students as well. And so that was really nice. And it's always a learning opportunity to see what's on the minds of students and to hear what's important to them. And Ron and your team are to be commended for the ways that you continue to reach out and address their needs, especially with the pandemic and the challenges around food security issues and safety issues as well. So thank you very much for all that you've done on that. The presidential search is ongoing. The committee met for the first time last week, and they're in the very early stages, but I wanted to thank Ms. Rivers and Dr. Guillory for the exceptional work that they're doing in shepherding that process and bringing the various search members together. For those of you that don't know, the committee is chaired by Trustee Clyburn, co-chaired by Trustee Clyburn and the former chair of this board, Dr. Elaine Kreider, and I think they're going to do wonderful things. And so thank you very much for your willingness to serve, and looking forward to what you produce on that. And I think that that's it for me. This is actually the last board meeting of the year for the trustees, unless something else happens. So please remember the university and your charitable giving. Trustees, we want to be a 100% giving board, so please make sure that you get your donations in and encourage your friends as well to make their donations as well so we can continue with the great momentum that President has expressed in his report about fundraising and what the foundation is doing. So with that, if there's not any questions, oh, yes, Dr. Jarvis.
Mm-hmm. That was sent, given to us by the Fund Development Officer,
okay.
Which we could send to people. It's mm-hmm. already constructed.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is send it to our listserv.
Yeah.
And if that's possible, it would be very useful.
I think that's a wonderful idea. It had been suggested before, and there was differences of opinions on it, but I think it's a great idea. So I don't know if Rodney is here. I think what happened was people are okay with getting a letter. There were some questions about giving names the other way around. But giving the letter for the trustees to send out, I think, is something that people are willing to do. Yes. And I didn't know if Rodney was here or if Amika is here. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so Dr. Guillory, we'll leave that in your hands. All right, thank you so very much. Any other questions about what I've stated or said? All right, seeing none. Hearing none? Okay, I'll yield the floor. Oh, I hope homecoming went well. I was on business travel, so I wasn't able to be there, but by the pictures that our outstanding social media team has presented on the various platforms, it looked like everyone was having a great time. So hopefully it went well. Seems like it did. With that, I'll yield the floor to you, President Mason.
Thank you, Chairman. My first duty is to introduce to you our new Chief of Police, Mr. Chief Cleveland Spruill. Come on to the podium, Chief. Just by way of background, his start date is 11-1. He's a seasoned law enforcement executive with more than 35 years of experience. He was 8 years as deputy police chief in Alexandria, Virginia. He served as the chief in Huntersville, North Carolina for approximately 5 years. Served as the police chief in Athens, Clark County, Georgia for more than 3 years, which is where, of course, the University of Georgia is. Served on numerous law enforcement and community initiatives aimed at criminal justice reform. He has a Master's of Business Administration from Johns Hopkins. He's a graduate of the Federal Bureau of Investigation's National Academy and completed the Police Executive Research Forum's Senior Management Institute for Police. Chief, welcome. Say a few words if you don't mind.
Certainly, President Mason and distinguished board members, thank you for having me out this night and allowing me the opportunity to introduce myself. I'm very excited and happy to be a member of the Firebirds. I've kind of hit the ground running, and I look forward to working with faculty and the students to make the University of the District of Columbia one of the safest campuses in the nation. So thank you again for having me, and I'm very happy to be on board.
Thank you, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
And as for the rest of my report, we sent it out pretty well in advance to the board. And so if you have questions, I'll answer them. But let me hit a couple of high spots in each area. On the enrollment side, enrollment is up, but they're looking even better for next semester. Dr. Latham and I and Annie Wadley have been visiting the high schools in the district, and it really is fertile ground, I think. We had the counselors on campus today. We have more students coming from the high schools to campus for college day here, and all of the schools have agreed to let us have a UDC day on their campus, where we can admit students and offer scholarships on site. And just for context, remember, this is what we had planned to do before COVID started, but they wanted these schools to go too. And so now we're catching up. And I think by Christmas, we will have done most of the DC. By the end of the semester, we will have done most of the DCPS high schools. So stay tuned. Strategic planning, the chairman talked about COVID-19. We're trying to figure out what to do come fall, come spring. You know, there's the vaccination issue, the mask issue. If you walk around town, a lot of people are doing neither. We did a survey, and it's about 50-50, you know, as to what we should or shouldn't do. So this may require for some leadership decisions based on instinct and observation more than science. And so once we figure it out, we'll let the board know before we make it public. Human resources, you know about. We're not sure what's going to happen there yet with the negotiations with the union. It's a new group, and so we're trying to figure out the rhythm of that relationship. External relations, it's a lot there, as you see, but the moral of the story is we have our hands in everything going on now. And with the new council, I think we're ahead of the game in trying to understand who the new folks are and how to transition to those relationships before the budget season starts. Dawn, one of the things that I think we're learning from this Dawn initiative is that, how do I put this? As we talk to these principals,
Our message is we know your students. And we know them in every form that they exist. We know them if they're tagged students who went away and come back to us. We know them if they're highly prepared because about DC UP scholars. We know the ones that are graduating from high school but are not prepared for college because we get them in our community college. But we've consciously built the kind of university that can accommodate each and every one of them and give them what they need to be successful in life. But what we're learning is that the more we can connect before they get here, the better it is for the students that we all serve. But there's a lot of bureaucratic challenges to making that simple idea a reality. And so the whole point of the Dawn Initiative is for us to try to work out those things in one school feeder pattern in one neighborhood and show that if it works, the students themselves are better off over time because of it. And, you know, it's a challenge. Like, for example, we put in a community garden over at Sousa Middle School. And the principal at Sousa is a really brilliant young principal, right? And she's very, very good at what she does. And we've been relying on her and the other principals. We just had a retreat with them to understand, you know, really what we need to do to help them be successful. But she just got reassigned to Roosevelt High School as the principal there, right? And anybody that works in the system knows how these things go. But that's all part of the challenge of serving the students. And so we're just really trying to figure it out as we go. But it's going well. It's attracting attention. And it's my hope that we can – oh, the other thing is our main partner, DOEE, the Energy and the Environment, Tommy Wells is leaving, right? And so we had lunch today to talk about how we can put a framework around this work so that it continues, you know, even though leadership is changing. And so we'll keep you posted on that. And then advancement in fundraising, you know, we hired a consultant to help us professionalize our operation and give us their suggestions on how to maximize the work. My guess is they're going to be coming to us with an investment proposal. Well, they're going to invest some money and we're going to invest some money. We're on that board to figure out how we can start to maximize our fundraising potential. In marketing and communications, it doesn't say it on here, I think, but our social media presence is really skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. And I forget how many hits, but it's a lot more than I it's 45,000 right here, 45,000 users. And they even had me out there last week doing a Beyonce TikTok challenge. You know, I don't know if it'll make the cut for posting, but if it does, but it's good stuff going on,
and
the students love it, and it's all sort of coming together now. And so, kudos to the team UDC. I've said it's the best team I've ever worked with, and that is in fact the case. That's my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much. Trustees, any questions about the report? Yes, Dr. Jarvis.
I don't really have a question, I guess, a couple of observations. First, there was good coverage of the social work program and a good model that gets the council involved in identifying areas where there are needs, underwriting a program, and then handing it over to the university, which now can't really handle that. So I thought that was good. The other thing that I wanted to ask, I've forgotten, but that would be unusual. there's not going to be a presentation of this. You just...
Yeah, Maria Bird.
Yeah.
She's going to walk you through it.
Yeah.
No, she's going to walk you through it today.
Yeah. After we do the committee report.
And I'll introduce her, and there'll be a written report that follows this.
Okay.
I had a question. I saw, Ron, in your report that you mentioned the Bertie Bacchus campus master plan meeting, and it reminded me of the planning that was going on, because I couldn't quite remember what was the plan that was done here, but it wasn't the campus-wide master plan, and I think that's still to come, right? Do you know?
No. We had, there's one required by the zoning commission to be done every 10 years. That was done here. But we also piggybacked on that and did a master campus plan. Right? Am I right, David? Yeah, we did a master campus plan. And the process going on at Bacchus now is the 10-year zoning plan requirement. Right, Avis? Yes.
Okay. So I don't know why I thought that what we had done was limited just to these buildings on this campus and was not the campus-wide plan, including the various satellites.
No, we did both.
Okay.
We did a Van Ness master plan that had to go through the zoning commission.
Right.
And then we also looked at our other assets.
Right.
And vision for them over the next 10 years, but that was internal to the university. That did not have to be approved by
us. I see. Them. Okay.
And then we are now working on, because the Bacchus campus is in a residential neighborhood, mm-hmm. we have to have a master plan approved before we can do any renovations or additions to that building.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
We did do something that was called the institutional plan.
Yeah.
That was for internal purposes.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Appreciate it. Anybody else have any questions? Dr. Jarvis? Okay.
I think that the way you're presenting, that is who we are serving as opposed to what we are offering, when you are reaching out to both the students or to parents or to counselors, is really a good way of messaging. I think it's a great new way of trying to reach the people that we're trying to encourage. It's working.
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
Excellent. Any other questions or comments? I will say that the presence online seems to have just dramatically increased, and you're just able to see so many things now, so many facets of the university, whether it's our professors, whether it's activities, whether it's student life. And that's just wonderful, because for years we had been talking about how people just weren't aware. And so kudos to that team and all that they've done to help us grow in that spotlight. And I'm sure that will contributing to enrollment.
And the person that is primarily responsible is a UDC grad.
Awesome.
Our social media person is a UDC grad.
Oh, wow.
Excellent.
Great.
Excellent. Yeah. The best and the brightest. That's what we do here. All righty. If there are no further questions or reports or questions about Ron's report, we'll go ahead and go to the committee reports. Okay. There's nothing to report out from the executive committee. We discussed those items, and we haven't had a committee of the whole meeting. So with that, I'll yield the floor to academic and student affairs. Dr. Tarr, do you have anything to report out?
Yeah, I think so. What I'm going to suggest that we do is pass this along to
turn it on.
The light has to be green.
It's on.
The light is green. You got to talk into it.
Yeah, talk.
Oh. Yeah.
There you go. So what I'd like to do is to pass some of that along to Dr. Potter to talk about the upcoming Middle States Association.
Okay.
So I'm going to hand the microphone over to the accreditation liaison officer, Dr. Scott Crossett, who will walk us through all things accreditation. We just finished our self-study institutes, and we are preparing to go to the Middle States National Conference in Philly, December 7th.
I'm sorry, Dr. Potter. What did you say was happening December 7th and 9th?
December 7th through the 9th is the National Meeting of Nurses.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Good evening, trustees and colleagues. I'm Scott Krawczyk. I'm the Accreditation Liaison Officer, also the Associate Chief Academic Officer. I'd like to introduce myself for two things. I want to give you an overview of the self-study process tonight, and I also want to introduce myself and our two co-chairs for the self-study who are here tonight, and you know them, I think, Ms. Risa Lear, if you please stand, and Dr. Ludwig Nitsche from CSIS. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to take you through where we are now and what the timeline looks like going forward. So all of you know that most of you are very familiar with this 8-year process. Dr. Potter and I were just in on a webinar last week, and much to our surprise, we learned that the midpoint peer review is no longer being done by Middle States. This is an announcement that will come out. What they're going to do in replacement of that is a ramped up and more intense look at the annual institutional update. But more information will be coming forward on that. But the bottom line is we're in the midst of this 8-year cycle from 2016, the previous reaffirmation, and we're about to enter into the long process, 24 to 30 months, we're in it right now, of the self-study. The first three blocks in red are where we are right now, and I'm going to talk in detail about those. The blue blocks are what happens in the academic year 24-25, okay? Late 24, the team chair, that is the evaluation team chair, will visit. Meet with the president. It's very separate from the team visit, which comes a few months later, a couple months later in the spring of 2025. Now, that seems like a long way away, but it's really not. Trust us, we have gone through a pretty substantial process over the past month and a half or so of the Institute, and I'm going to talk briefly about that. Then, of course, the gray blocks are on the back end after the visit is complete. To drill down on those first three blocks that you saw, the Self-Study Institute just completed last week. We have the steering committee identified. I'm going to show you a slide of that and the key players in a moment. We are going into our self-study design process. That's actually a document that will be circulated. You'll all get to see it. We all need input. And then in the spring of 2023, our VP liaison, and Trustee Jarvis, you asked last week, or the last meeting, it's a man named Robert Bonfiglio, Dr. Bonfiglio. He's only been our VP liaison since the summer of 2020. So he's relatively new in that role. He will come on site, and he will meet with a number of folks. He'll meet with the president. He will meet with the steering committee. He will meet with the community. And he will meet with a selection of you all, and you'll see that in a moment also. And at the end of that process, he will accept our self-study design and kick us into the long process of gathering evidence, providing the evidence, uploading the evidence, and getting ready for the on-site visit. I know there are a lot of names here, and you can't all read it, I'm sure, but I do want to mention just the standards, and you can see that this is an institutional process. It goes from Standard 1, Mission and Goals, and you can see names associated with that kind of focus at the institution. Standard 2, Ethics and Integrity, where our general counsel is, our external relations folks. Standard 3 is an academic standard that's design and delivery of the student learning experience, and therefore you see all academic names associated with that in the steering committee. Standard 4 is support of the student experience. You see names there associated with SDS. But it's a partnership across, right? So there's a mix. There's faculty member in each of these standards, and it represents the collaboration across the university that it needs to happen in order to make the process a smooth and inclusive one. Standard 5, educational effectiveness, again, heavily influenced by academic affairs and our institutional research folks. Standard 6, planning resources, institutional improvement, you see the folks there. And Standard 7, governance, leadership, and administration. The yellow highlighted names are the names of the folks who, 10 people who participated in the Self-Study Institute. Those were 3-hour sessions, webinars with Middle States. The first hour and almost 2 hours would be just a plenary session for all 10 folks, where we would listen to colleagues from other institutions similar to ours talk about their process, their experiences, their lessons learned. And they would share as we went through all the subject areas of the Self-Study Institute. The three folks who attended then the key leader sessions, myself and our co-chairs, met with Dr. Bonfiglio and again a select member of that peer institution group who shared more intimately with us and others who are going through the process, other institutions going through the process right now, lessons learned, advice, and so forth. A little bit more detail on that timeline. This is a draft, but what I want to highlight in blue is the self-study visit. Self-study preparation visit, that is where the VP liaison comes and will meet with a representative group of the Board of Trustees. More to follow, obviously. These are the outcomes of the self-study. We will add probably one or two, but these are the musts that are included and Middle States expects, or certainly hopes for the first one, reaffirmation. But that it's an inclusive campus process and it is designed to help us continue in the continuous improvement and innovation aspect of our mission. Are there any questions? We're on track. What I want to tell you, trustees, is the institution actually has really prepared itself well since 2016. It stood up two significant bodies, the Accreditation Task Force and a University Assessment Committee. That was based on lessons learned because they kind of realized that that was a difficult process. Perhaps the president was new, right? There were a lot of things that were sort of changing at the time, and so we wanted to create continuity. And the Accreditation Task Force has been in place ever since. My predecessor, our predecessor, former colleague, Dr. Moore, Carl Moore, was one of the originators of that group. That group has stayed intact. And that's the steering committee that I just showed you. Okay, that's the same body. I've been overseeing that since 2020. Okay, we have been in this conversation ever since the end of the last Middle States accreditation visit. And that has put us in a very good position going forward. So we're on track. We've been great participants. I have to say UDC has been shining in its participation during the Self-Study Institute. And so I just want to assure you that we are looking very good at this point. Any questions?
Thank you. Questions from anyone? Yes, Dr.
Do you know who will be on our self-study team?
You mean the site visit team?
Yes.
We do not know. We will not know, Trustee Jarvis, who even the chair of that team will be, typically another university president. We won't know that for some time, okay? In fact, I think it's not until next year in the fall at the earliest that we begin to vet. That is to say, all of us will have input on names provided. And we will all agree that it's the right person with the right background, the right understanding of the institution, its mission, its history, and so forth. When we all say yes, then that person's locked in.
Really important. Is very important because, as the president has said, there are very few universities that are like UDC, so it's really important to get a team that has some understanding of the complexity of this university, which is, you know, an urban land grant as well as an HBCU.
So. Absolutely.
Thank you, Scott. Just for context, I'm sure you think it's come full circle. I think the first month I was here, the SACs came to visit because we had our
Middle States.
We had our accreditation review. I think it was like 6 months after I got here, right? And we really had to sell them on not what we had done as much as what we were going to do, the vision, and we ended up getting 11 commendations, yeah. Which nobody expected, and we celebrated, but it was also our first. It was the first asset we had to start working with when we were talking about the university we wanted to build. And now that it's coming back around, I think Scott is right. Him and the team have put systems in place now where the data will sell itself and the information will sell itself. And so I think we're in really good shape. And I think Dr. Potter and Scott have well in control.
Right.
So thank you for that, Scott.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. And we'll make sure that that presentation gets circulated for everyone. Appreciate that report out. Dr. Targ, was there anything else you wanted to mention? Okay. The Alumni Task Force, I don't know who would like to speak on that. Trustee Schwartz, would you like to say anything? Or Shelton? Or Musgrove?
It was 13 months ago that we had reassembled National Alumni Society. And from the work that you've seen over the last week, you can see the fruits of our labor.
Yeah.
And I really want to thank them for pulling this together. We have worked through some space issues, and thank to Mr. Franklin and the team who gave us a tour of the space this afternoon, and where they will be temporarily associated with the Alumni Society, the Alumni Affairs Office, and Mr. Trapp.
Okay.
And I think as they build out that space, working together and waiting for the permanent space in the future, I think that would be a good thing. But I think that the Alumni Society is working very well. We can see them beginning to gel as they move forward. And I think, as I mentioned, they had a very good gala on Saturday, and I think
black
that was
tie.
Good.
It was nice.
Thanks. Excellent. Anything else?
Black tie was sold out.
Sold out, black tie.
We missed you all. Next year, we'll be looking for you. It was full house. The place was spectacular. Music was good. Food was good. And it was a lot of heavyweight. We had the president of AARP, 100 black men were here, and many other dignitaries who didn't, I don't recall, but I remember those two because I'm AARP. And 100 black men.
The task for Mr. Franklin would be, how can he make this room a lot bigger?
Yeah.
To accommodate all the folks.
A lot of people couldn't get tickets because it sold out. Yeah. So I advise you the next time, get them early. Or find a friend.
I just want to add that on Sunday evening, last Sunday evening, there was a celebration also for the classes of 1971. And 1972.
Before my time.
I'm a proud member.
The children always want to interrupt.
I am a proud member of the class of 1970.
Was nice.
It was beautiful. The turnout was good. Not as much as we wanted, but we're growing, and we're going to do better. We're going to add to the numbers that we currently have. And I think the last I heard, we have 40,000 alumni. We're shooting to get all of them active and add to that number. But it's a beautiful air on Sunday evening for those of us who celebrated our 50th anniversary graduations from our institution. And we're not able to have in-person affairs. We had our in-person affair on Sunday at Pickles Road.
You might mention it was graduates of Washington Technical.
Yes, okay.
All came together as Firebirds.
All of the predecessor schools were included in that, and we were all happy to see one another, even though we went to different predecessor institutes. But I'm just going to brag a little bit. The largest number of those graduates did come from DC Teachers College.
Teachers College. Excellent.
For the record, this was the largest one we've had in the last 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
It was started up just before COVID, and then COVID knocked it out, and it was building, and then COVID knocked it out, and then this group with our alumni representative was able to get more information out. And just like she said, her class dominated. But the other schools were here, and they're going to tell their friends. So next year, they should have a bigger crowd.
Excellent.
And they were all proud Firebirds.
They accepted that readily. Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
It's wonderful to be a part and to watch the rebirth of this university.
Yeah.
It's wonderful and amazing.
Yeah. Thank you for that report out. Student Communications Task Force, Dr. Harris, would you like to report out anything?
Thank you. So I just wanted to report that students across all campuses got the opportunity to come out and participate in homecoming activities, and they had an amazing time. So thank you for all those who took part in the planning of a great celebration. Also want to just say, as a personal aside, each month I work with the various campuses there, our group meeting to find out what's going on in the campuses. I work with their student leaders, but I'll be launching a student informational tool where I go out to the different campuses, and so I will be providing more information about that just to get a better understanding of what's going on in the hearts and minds of all the students in our amazing system.
Awesome. Okay. Excellent. And if you want trustees to join you, let us know.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that report. Audit, budget, finance. Trustee Chelton.
You have approved our committee. I'd like to thank the members of the committee for their diligence and Mr. Franklin for sharing regularly with each committee member so that they get a full upload of the information. Our next audit, budget, and finance committee meeting is in January the 24th at 6 p.m. That's the scheduled meeting, and we will be structuring our agenda for that meeting. And I'd like to thank the team for another successful budget year, and I look forward to a pay raise.
Thank you.
That concludes my report.
Thank you. The next report is operations. Mr. Franklin, I think you were going to report out since Trustee Grossinger was unable to stay on the line. Thank you.
Good evening. David Franklin, Chief Operating Officer. I'll be brief, very brief. First and foremost, I want to thank the board for the support over the many years with respect to the annual budget. More specifically, thank you for over the past 2 to 3 years. And the reason why I want to point that out, we were going through COVID. And when I first came and shared with the board that we wanted to cut the budget, reduce spending during this period, a lot of eyebrows was raised. But we're better for it today. We are extremely better for it today. Because of those efforts, we were able to set aside $10 million moving forward for towards budget FY24 budget, where the COVID dollars go away. We have positioned ourselves for the future. And I really and truly want to thank the committee for not only staying the course, but more so trusting the process. That's the report this afternoon. So thank you, and have a good night.
Thank you. David, thank you to you and your team. That the report out that you did both at the committee, for both committees, was just wonderful. The information was easy to follow, and the progress from where we've been to where we're going has just been extraordinary. So thank you for all the hard work that you and your team do to make our lives easier. We appreciate that. Thank you. All right, student outcomes. Dr. Barazzani, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Just a little bit. Thank you. Student outcomes did not move because we knew the retreat was coming up, and we are going to meet in January, but one of the things that we want to talk about in January is some of the terrific information that Link shared. And we're wondering how we can find what might be relevant to the work of the committee that we would like to track and use and learn more about. So that was very helpful. Dr. Latham presented a great deal of information at the retreat, and I thank you for that. It was most comprehensive. And at this point, I just ask you, Dr. Latham, if you'd like to add anything to the student outcomes report. You were very comprehensive and helpful about all the initiatives.
So good evening to everyone. William Latham, Chief Student Development Success Officer. As Trustee Barazzani has mentioned, the report was to be able to give you guys a comprehensive explanation of the strategy, the culture, and the talent necessary to achieve the enrollment goals that we have. That encompasses, obviously, retention and persistence, and also admissions as a policy and process. So we feel very good about where we are as an institution right now, as I mentioned during that retreat, about the combination of all three of those coming together in a very robust process for us. We learned a lot during COVID, and we redesigned, as I mentioned, the registration process because of that. That helped us reach our number this fall semester, 3,500. It will also help us do that same thing for the spring semester on into the fall. Applications are up 40%. Registrations up right now, over 500 students compared to this time last year. So we're going in the right direction, and I want to make sure the board understands that. So we feel good about the combination of both strategy, real-time adjustments in terms of what we need to do to fit the students where they are, meet them where they are, and then how we have the process of what we're doing with DCPS, what we're doing with other outreach initiatives, getting the right team in place in terms of recruiters to help us reach those goals. So happy to answer any questions you guys may have around that process if you have them.
William, while you're there, can you say a little bit about trauma-informed counseling and what you're doing
there? Oh, good. Thank you for reminding me about that, President Mason. So, yes, we had our first trauma-informed care training session last week for the division. We mentioned that during the retreat as a part of the deck, as you guys may recall. We recognize, again, from those conversations with our students coming back, that we have to deal with the trauma first as a part of the process of learning. We've got to get to that cause, that causal effect of what that looks like. So working with Professor Levere from CAS around that construct has been very important for us. She did our first, as I mentioned, first training session. We have another scheduled for January, another scheduled for March. We want the staff at UDC, in terms of what we do in terms of student-facing processes, to understand how to identify, mitigate, and reduce anxiety, and reduce the conflict, reduce the types of issues that our students have, and then be able to resource them to a different type of process. We also brought our first case manager on in November 1 to help us with that integration of that system, and also to be a liaison with DCPS around other agencies that support the trauma-informed care model that we're going to develop here at the university. So very excited by that work. I think it's going to be a real national model for other institutions to look at as they think about students who are coming into university with challenging and coming from challenging background.
Any questions for Dr. Latham? Seeing them here, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
May I make an observation?
Sure.
When the president first came, he put up this model of student success. It looked almost like a football team, if you remember. And I've kept that in my mind because you can now fill in that model with the things that have been done to create a successful student success model. So you did what you said you were going to do.
We tried.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the committee reports. The next item on our agenda is actually very important, and it's the equity imperative updates and outcomes with Maria Bird leading the discussion. Information was presented to you tonight for you to review in connection with Ms. Bird's presentation. So we'll yield the floor to Ms. Bird. Thank you for being here.
Good evening. I've been sitting here listening and reflecting. Everything everyone's been talking about is all that we envisioned when we began the equity imperative. And so I first want to congratulate UDC on completing the strategic plan. And so from 2019 to today, or to September 30th of 2022, we actually set out a roadmap that was in alignment with where we believe the university needed to go. And so tonight we're going to go through a PowerPoint presentation that we have in paper. Sometimes it's easier to see it in paper, and kind of go through what we did, how we did it, and kind of where we ended up. There is also a 48-page document that is under review, that's in draft, that you all received shortly after Thanksgiving, that kind of goes into the very specific details of what we actually did over these past 4 years. And so if we go to page one, we kind of look at the overview. We know that everyone was not here when we began the process, so just kind of looking at what we envision, the vision, the mission, the core values. If you look at those core values, they were around excellence, innovation, integrity, sustainability, collaboration, you know, aspire, accomplish, take on the world. I think everyone remembers seeing that kind of hanging there in the university right there in the front. The pillars being quality, location, affordability, diversity, and community focus. And today we're going to kind of talk about how we walk that journey. And so the journey, we embarked upon this four-year process to build the foundation. I think one of the things that we often heard about was operational readiness. That was one of the key points that was discussed when we were talking about what do we need to do. It's really about building that foundation. And that's a lot of the areas, when you look at the key performance indicators, they really are about building a foundation. And so we wanted to be a catalyst for students to reach their highest level of human potential. I think our students know that term. I think our faculty and staff have all bought into and believed in the highest level of human potential that President Mason coined in the beginning of this process. We had three main goals. Our goals were to establish in the District of Columbia a public higher education model of urban student success. We've heard people talk about the student success model and kind of how that has evolved and just strengthened throughout the years. Increasing the number of UDC degrees and workforce credentials awarded was our second goal. And our third goal was to graduate transformative urban leaders who are lifelong learners. And so those were our three main goals. And in each of those goals, we had sub-goals and objectives. And those objectives are pretty much our strategies. What are we going to do to actually reach these goals? And each of the goals, there were key performance indicators that also attached to those. And so if you all remember the strategic plan, in the back of the plan, and Dr. Jarvis, I remember us having those conversations around those key performance indicators, really what were those things we were going to do each and every year to try to reach our goal. And one of the most unique things, and I think that I've seen in the industry now, it's becoming an industry standard, is the agility of a plan. You can set out a course, but you have to revisit it each and every year. If your strategic plan is not a living document, then you're really not setting forth a plan that's valuable for the institution. And so we did that. Each and every year, we looked at our key performance indicators. We revisited them. We realigned them oftentimes to try to make sure that we were doing what was best so that we could actually reach the three goals we set forth. We evaluate ourselves not only annually, but also semi-annually. We would come before the board and provide updates if we thought we were going to be off track, on track, what some of the challenges were, or what some of the bright sides were as well. So if you go to the third page, you'll see the measured outcomes. I just want to state as a point of reference, a successful strategic plan is typically reaching around 60%. If you reach 100%, that means you didn't reach hard enough. You didn't really strive for anything. And so despite 2 years of COVID, despite all the things that obviously came in the midst of our strategic planning process, we really did reach some pretty significant outcomes, with our goal one being 65%, goal two being 57%, and our goal three being 51%. One of the things we know about goal one is that was really a lot of the work that the Academy has discussed around the redesign of the academic structure, really about those funded research opportunities, really about kind of building up some of those areas that will allow us to be that model of urban student success. Goal two, obviously, as we've talked about with COVID hitting and some of the workforce credentialing, workforce obviously was not able to really have in-person classes, so we did take some challenges there, which obviously we have rebuilt since that time period. We've also discussed, and Dr. Latham has discussed, how our enrollment has just begun to bustle again. We know that every institution across the United States had an impact with enrollment as a result of COVID. So those are areas that obviously in the next plan we'll be revisiting, but there is a very strong, you see 57%, because we have built a strong foundation, that we have the pieces so that as we bring the students in, we have the infrastructure to service them. Goal three is around a transformative urban leaders, and that really looks at the culture of the university, really making sure that we are believing in our students and following through with our faculty and staff, and also providing them with resources so that they can reach their highest level of human potential. And so really feeding into our culture and our next strategic plan will be key and important to transform kind of how we think as an institution. So those are our key performance indicator measured outcomes. If there are any questions, I will stay here because I know that KPIs were one of the areas of, if anyone has any questions around our measured outcomes. Now we'll go to the next slide, which here we've highlighted some of, you'll see much further details in the report around some of those areas that we did accomplish during the strategic plan. So for goal one, we have highlights of 8 seamless academic pathways established. I will say we did talk about one. So to have 8 seamless pathways, we are well on our way to being able to really service our students. As you all have talked about before, and President Mason, there's a design about, you know, the various entry points, you know, coming in as a workforce student and then coming out and then coming back in, maybe your master's degree. So really having those various points of entry, but allowing them to be seamless, because there was a time where students had to almost apply to the 4-year institution after they had been a CC student. And so breaking some of those barriers down and obviously allowing the course offerings to also meet those needs. Over $50 million in funded research. We reached that way before we thought we were going to. And so obviously our funded research has definitely grown exponentially. UDC academic infrastructure support, a funding of $1.6 million between 2022 and 2024. And as we've discussed, you know, having a strategic planning roadmap allowed for, hopefully David would agree, COO Franklin would agree, that having that roadmap helped when they were going for budget enhancements and being able to request additional funding for the university. UDC exponentially increased engagement with district officials through regular meetings with the mayor, DC Council, DCPS Chancellor, directors of DOE, DOES, WIC, and the myriad of other district leaders. So the frequent meetings across the district have really allowed our universities to not only be known and seen across the city, but to really become that viable source and a resource for the district. We established three components of the DAWN initiative, most notably the C2 Academy, Strategic Partnership in Anacostia. And I think those who are in the Anacostia community, and I know for myself, I've heard community members talk about the impact that we're having at the C2 Academy, specifically Anacostia, and the new director really being someone that I think is meeting the needs of those residents there. And one of the things that we've talked about and we've heard is, you know, raising the ranks on the U.S. News and World Report. When we first started this process, we were number 48, and going to number 17 since we started the strategic plan just shows that actually the foundation is being built and it's becoming something that we can report out and something that's being noted even across the nation. Goal two, we have over $2 million in aid to students to support tuition and emergency needs, and that has been key and critical. Many of our students have had obviously lots of challenges as a result of COVID, and so being able to provide them with that additional support outside of what they might get from financial aid or if they're not eligible for financial aid. Title III and HERF awards have increased from $14.2 million in 18 to $33 million in FY21. Establishment of student case management model that led to 70% of our underprepared students receiving early interventions, and we know the earlier we can intervene with our students, the more they're able to actually be successful throughout their career here at the university. Full adoption of data-informed decision-making, making university dashboards, university-wide assessment review and reporting, our ICRT, project approval and prioritization. So really a lot of using data to be able to better inform how we operate as an institution. Our facilities team, we were able to purchase 4250 Connecticut Avenue, and plans are underway to transform that building into a world-class academic space. The university secured over $22.4 million in one-time funding and $36.2 million in ongoing budget enhancements between fiscal year 19 and 22. For goal three, some of the highlighted areas are reorganizing the unit and completing the capital improvements to the Center for Diversity, Inclusion, and Multicultural Affairs, which is really key and critical as, you know, ensuring that all of our students feel comfortable on the campus and that they feel represented on the campus as well. We've revised and deployed a new faculty academy, the NFA model, within the Center for Advancement of Learning for Early and Mid-Career Faculty. Our cultural transformation initiatives have been adopting the strength finders for students, faculty, and staff across our campus. And we've negotiated the 8th master agreement for full-time and SEU adjunct faculty union contracts for full-time and adjunct faculty in 2020. So those are some of the goal three highlights. Our pandemic pivots. So because of the agility of our plan, we did have pivots during the pandemic, and we wanted to highlight some of those things that we pivoted. We heard Dr. Latham talk about some of the things they're doing with the CARES Network, providing holistic student support, counseling, food banks, increased health services. We've also provided the district with crisis support, obviously a super voting center that needed space during the 2020 election cycle, COVID testing site and vaccination sites for the district. Provided multiple learning opportunities, emergency remote learning, low-risk learning zones, additional learning platforms were acquired. The University Campus Opening Committee established return to campus safety protocols, space improvements, electronic and health screenings, to ensure that we were able to successfully come back on campus in a safe manner. And I just wanted to highlight one of the things that's in the report that came from the economic impact study done by the university was for every dollar invested by the D.C. government to the university, UDC returns $4 back to the city. So it just shows that, you know, the investment into the university is definitely a benefit to the district, the region, and really the entire nation. One of the other things I wanted to highlight from our report is the opportunity to gain an excellent education and thrive as a member of the middle class should be available to everyone, and we really are giving that opportunity for education to everyone across the district. And those two pictures on the side are part of one of our campaigns, one of the print ads that you probably saw that the marketing team did. Next steps. So we've done some great things. We've built a foundation. But our next steps are really about, I believe, and I think we're President Mason, Dr. Guillory will be talking to me further about this, but an equity imperative 2.0. And so we've talked about updating the plan. We know that the goal 1, 2, and 3, it was heartwarming to hear that most of the feedback from the surveys was that they felt that our goals were very relevant and that we should be continuing on that. And so, but along with our goals, they also identify kind of three major themes, which were identity, partnerships, and UDC experience. And we believe that those really fit within goal one is really the identity piece. Goal two is really the partnerships. And when you look at the report, you'll see the number of partnerships that we have just developed over the past 4 years and just how we've grown in that area. And then goal three is a UDC experience. And that really goes into kind of that transformative urban leader. So we believe those are where the areas where those three main themes would fit. We'll begin to review and realign our objectives and create new objectives for the next strategic planning process using the discovery process by the LINC consulting team. And we know that many of the priorities from the Equity Imperative 1.0 that will be adopted are the academic redesign, continuing that, enrollment, retention, degree completion, learning spaces, and transformative culture. Oh, I'll read the quote from the back, which is, UDC understood and responded to the challenges students experienced through establishing the framework for a redesigned academic structure and re-engineered student success model to aid students in reaching their highest level of human potential.
Thank you. This is an outstanding report. Thank you so very much. Trustees, questions? Yes. Trustee Jarvis.
Yeah, this office, I've said to the president a number of times, was really a very welcome part of the administration. It's very important data collection. Since there is there are two of these goals that have quantitative assessments that have to do with graduation and the number of degrees. So did you do any quantitative assessment of those? This is 2019. So looking at graduation rates and retention rates from 2019 to now is not.
Yes. So
you don't have that kind of quantitative assessment too soon. But you have in place the ability to look back and say, you know, from the time that a lot of these goals and strategies put in place, you can see that there is an uptick.
Yeah, so what we know, and a lot of that quantitative data exists in the various reports that you'll see, but what we know is graduation rate has definitely increased. The areas that we're still working on are going to be our enrollment increase, because obviously with the pandemic, we did see some challenge there, and our completion numbers as well, and obviously our workforce credentials, just because of the fact they did take a decline. So probably this spring will be a better time to be able to really see what was the impact, because we are starting to see a recovery from the pandemic. We were seeing, obviously, an escalation before the pandemic, and then we did see some challenge there.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Trustee Clyde.
Good afternoon or evening. I'm going to phrase this question in a strange way. It's not meant to forecast anything, but I'm just going to say it. You've forecast or put forth the possibility of a 2.0. And say this was a period behind, this 1.0 was a period behind your sentence, what would you say to anyone, launching a 2.0, you can kind of separate yourself from that, what would you and the team, put forth in terms of a narrative or a forecast or a relaunch? What would that advice or narrative be based on this and what you discussed among yourselves?
So I think if you look at the first page of the equity imperative, we go out to 2028 for our outcomes. And so I think to really be able to realize especially our goal one, when you talk about becoming a model of urban student success, there's still some areas to develop when you talk about a model, because we've built a foundation, but we still have to kind of build the house, on top of the foundation, and we got to put a roof on it. So I think that's where we are, is at a point where we're really reaching that 2028 goal and being able to really see the enrollment growth. We heard earlier that Dr. Latham said we're 500 students ahead of the year before. I would venture to say that we're likely going to continue to be on a great path. We didn't talk about it this evening, but the community college saw like a 35% uptick in enrollment this year. And so the foundation that we're sitting on as a result of the 1.0, we now need to actually actualize the strategies to be able to really see the fruits of some of that work in that foundation.
And a quick follow-up, I will offer what I'm going to ask. I was on slide 9. If I were to be an amplifier of some of the highlights of the report, that 4-to-1 ratio, that dollar return to the city would be the thing that I would highlight. So I'm taking that off the table. What would be the one thing that you would want everyone to know that should be amplified as a result of the report?
That is a wonderful question.
Of course it is.
The one thing.
What was your aha moment? What was the one thing you said, man, yes?
The aha moment.
I took the 4-to-1 off the table.
You took that off the table. I think the aha moment, to be very honest, is to really, the funded grants was, we talk about funded research, did not expect to reach that as early as we did. But the office that was stood up for that unit, I think, really did a lot of work in that area. When you also, not only that, but when you look at some of the budget enhancements, and when I just was listening to CEO Franklin talk about the $10 million that we were able to save. So when you hear some of those items, you actually see where the roadmap did kind of work. And so I think those are some areas. And then we know that with our Student Development and Success Office, when you hear things like 70% of our students that are underprepared, they're using specific tools, are then that much more likely. I talk about our SI program, our supplemental instruction, and you see where that return on investment ended up, where most of our students that are in those programs and the students that are in the classes of SI typically fare better. Their GPAs are much higher than the rest of their counterparts. So those type of nuggets, I think, are the things that when you say the aha moment, you realize that having a plan, if you work the plan, even if you kind of have some stumbling blocks, you actually start to see the fruit of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. You actually covered some of what I was thinking about, because I was fascinated with the return on the investment from the local government. And I was curious how we were able to capture that. And then also, the second part was the $50 million in grants. Are we able to speak to the economic impact of that in the area or on the institution as well? And where were we before? I know you said we reached it very quickly, but comparatively, what could we say about where we were versus where we went?
24 million.
Yeah, so double. Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
One of the things that the roadmap allowed us to do, that when they created it, it showed us our weaknesses, and as we built team members to work on that weakness, offices, shops, personnel, we were able to improve the income generated through those areas. Funding, alumni, facilities. There was something else that I was thinking of, but as we got the chief academic officer, took those responsibilities off the president's office and got people in place to do the day-to-day operations, which was clearly demonstrated in the original plan that we needed these services up. The public relations, that's not what we're calling it now, but marketing. The people, marketing, yeah. The marketing tool. The only person we had marketing, the only person we had academic preparation was the president of the university. As we got personnel equipped and time to do those activities, we made steady progress. And I commend the team that was assembled, because it took everybody to get us to 17, because we were a really difficult university when I came in 2010.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes, President Mason.
Just a couple of things. One, thank you, Maria. Well done. And I don't know if you caught what she said, but there is actually a 48-page detailed report. And in there, you will see the goals and the sub-goals and the data to back up the... And so you'll see that.
Second, on the economic, the $4 to one, we actually did an economic impact study. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. And so if you need to revisit that, we'd be happy to pass that. We probably should update it anyway. And if you notice, the 60% bars, we get 60%, mm-hmm. And that's about the national average, but the mayor's stated goal is to make UDC an institution of first choice. And it is a different kind of place, right? It's complicated, but it's beautiful and special and unique in its own way. And if you ask me how close we are to UDC reaching its highest level of potential as an institution of higher learning, I'd probably say about 60%. And so the work has to be continued in the next iteration. I don't know what the name's going to be, but certainly I think Maria's right. We try to lay a foundation, show the possibilities. Oh, and here's the last piece. Remember, the equity imperative, part of it was based on the level of investment from the district. And so we had a plan that envisioned a four-year investment, a certain amount of money invested over 4 years. Mm-hmm. It looks like that's probably going to end up being that amount of money over 10 years. And so you can, there's a direct relationship between being able to build out marketing units or fundraising units and the amount of investment we get from the district. Yeah. But all in all, I think Team UDC got the work done. Yeah.
Thank you.
The return on investment was very, very impressive. So with regards to the economic impact study, has that been shared with the appropriate people?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. It about 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. About 2 years ago.
It was just when I was coming on.
Yeah.
I doubled down on the budgeting. This is the first time we ever did we asked for amount over a period of time. Prior to that, it was every year we sit with our hand out saying whatever you give us will be fine.
No, we laid it out.
And so, again, a lot of little things that we've been doing have really contributed to
led to big things.
But I do think we need to consistently and continuously talk about that return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that has to be a key message that we send forth as of tonight.
Agreed.
Yeah, excellent report, Ms. Byrd.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Dr. Jarvis?
Yes. I really picked up on establishment of student case management model led to 70% of underprepared students receiving early interventions.
Yes.
And I'm thinking the elevator speech that I have often tried to have with UDC is really enabled by what I see here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big hits against the university was that it was taking in underprepared students. They were not able to succeed and the graduation rates were low. But if you can say that what the university did, now look at the data when I get the book, that underprepared students came to the university and 70% of some number of them, what did you say?
Received early intervention.
Were prepared, and I don't know what that means, after receiving early interventions, but that's part of an elevator speech. Mm-hmm. So, when you say UDC is doing well, there's a talking point. There are two or three talking points in here that are very compelling. Mm-hmm. One of them is return on investment. Mm-hmm. One of them is unprepared students graduate.
Mm-hmm. Which is a return on investment.
Which is a return on investment. And so I can see that this enables fundraising as well as persuasion, as well as naysayers who have been underwhelmed with the performance of the university, but now should be overwhelmed that the university can take in students who are well underprepared, and 70% of them can have interventions, and they can graduate from this university. So there are talking points that can be really refined in fundraising messages as well as just elevator speeches about the university.
Mm-hmm.
And people will say, I understand the university is doing better. And you want to say, yes, they are. because they've taken the underprepared students, they've got them prepared. They intervened with a student success model, they got them ready, and they graduated, mm-hmm. right? Because there's return on investment that the public officials thought was very important, and so the funding over that period of time has increased because of it. There's a whole lot in here
absolutely.
That can sell this university.
Yeah. Absolutely. 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 And we do it in a way in which other institutions choose not to accept students like that, and we find success.
And that's why it's the model of
exactly.
student success.
Mm-hmm.
That you got it under gold too, but I'll tell you, it really belongs among in the first gold as well. This is the model for student success.
And that's the duty of a flagship institution.
To piggyback on what Trustee Driver said, that I don't necessarily know that it's captured here, but we know that it lives here at UDC. And that is that not only does UDC accept students who maybe have some academic challenge and accelerates learning, but UDC also has students who come in who could have gone to other universities, who have come here and accelerated matriculation, right? And I don't know that we are capturing that data as well as we should, because that also is an elevator speech.
Absolutely.
That we take students of all academic backgrounds and then help those students achieve their dreams. So
absolutely.
I think that's important.
So absolutely. Trustee Harris, I'll affirm the obvious. That's what an HBCU traditionally, historically, has done.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're living our legacy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Questions, comments? Well, what a wonderful way to end the meeting. Thank you again, Maria Bird, for that report and for the uplift that you've given the board and to the community as well about this. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we'll get to that. I think we've concluded the formal part of the meeting, and now there's a few items left that we can go over. I don't know.
It's the prep.
Yes. No unfinished business. New business. You all have a flyer from Sharon Pratt, the Founding Fathers Racial Equity Symposium at Montpelier, the home of President James Madison. That's January 30th. Hopefully trustees will be able to attend this. It looks fascinating. And the Institute continues to do wonderful things, so very happy to see this as well. Are there any other announcements from trustees for the benefit of the group? Seeing none, hearing none, chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. It has been moved. It has been seconded. All those in favor? Opposed? Seeing none, hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone, for being here.